Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You have the benefit of time, right? So you have
this is important.
You can swing and miss.
Yes,
you know you have a long timeline, and you should try to swing and miss. Not miss, but you should certainly try to swing and hit. And if it ends up being a miss, whatever. You got more picks. You got more assets.
You're preaching,
you got more
brother.
Young contracts.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
So I've heard there's a chance they move up.
Good.
Unfortunately, I have not heard my man Corey Kispert's name mentioned, which makes me very sad.
You're gonna be sad after next Thursday. Let me get you used to it. It's gonna be a brother. I'm sorry. It's gonna be a brother. They're gonna draft a brother. I'm gonna go out on a limb, John. They're gonna draft a brother.
No problem. I have no problem.
I know,
with it being a brother.
Well, you've just had your heart set on Corey Kispert for so long, though, and
can the brother shoot, man? Can the brother shoot? Is that his game?
The brother might not have to the point that you just made. The brother might not have to be able to shoot right off the bat. If whether it's a Springer who to me, I hope you can do a little bit. I told you I did the thing for Odyssey. Keon Johnson can't shoot right now, but there's a possibility he'll be able to, and he's got the athleticism right now, and you have the time to develop him, and the ceiling is higher on him than it is even that for a guy like my man Chris Duarte, who, yes, is ready to contribute now, John, but we kind of know what he's going to be already. He's 24. You know what I'm saying? Like
right.
That ceiling is higher with a guy like a Keon. So I'm with you on be aggressive and shoot for the stars, try to get you a star. And even if he doesn't shoot it well and address that need right now, there's a possibility maybe he does down the line and you get a guy with a little bit higher ceiling. That's kind of where I'm at. Doesn't have to be Keon.
Yeah.
It could be somebody else. But, man, try to be aggressive and get somebody with a high ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, I know they love Duarte because he fits the formula.
Defense and threes.
An
older guy, to your
24?
Point, for what they've done. Right, right, right.
Yeah, like,
experienced guy.
Like.
Right, 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 right.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like Desmond Bane in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he just is a basketball player that does not really make many mistakes.
And that's worked for them, to your point, right? So
I mean, he's not going to be a superstar in the NBA, but, I mean, the Grizzlies don't necessarily need a superstar. I mean, I could go both ways on what I would do at 10, right? Like, would I rather just take the – you know, take the young upside potential tools guy and see where it goes, because the Grizzlies can afford to do that. But they can also probably get that guy later in the draft if they pick up some picks, some things like that. So I do think, though, my instinct is that the Grizzlies are going to be aggressive if they can be.
Good.
And so that'll be a fun night for sure.
All right, man. Well, we're going to let you go. You've done a hell of a job for us today. You're doing a hell of a job raising Riley. How's that been, brother?
Thank you.
You're putting out some beautiful photos, John. That time together.
Yeah.
I'm dead. Well, I'm not blowing smoke, brother. It looks like it's been a beautiful time for you and Riles, as we call her.
Man, it really has. I'm so appreciative to you, to Odyssey, to Brad and Dan for letting me take this time, because I think I'll always look back on July 2021 as one of the greatest months of my life, because I've really been able to see her. And I mean, she's smiling, she's laughing, she when I walk into a room every morning, when she gets up, she smiles at me. I mean, it's been a true blessing for me as a dad to be able to, and I'll get to see that still. The show doesn't start till 11. It ain't like this is going to change, but every morning we take our walks and we do tummy time, and it's been a real blessing and everything that I hoped it would be. And so I'm very appreciative to everybody involved that made this work and allowed me to do this. It's been awesome.
She looks just like you, and it's been worth it for us knowing how special that time's going to be. And to hear it from you, yeah, man, we're happy for you that it's gone so well. John, not going to hold you.
No, I still have a week left. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
I still have a week left of this, all right? So don't get too comfortable.
I'm going to try to keep thinking about how beautiful a time it's been for you.
That's right.
While I continue – while I continue to march on, John, for another
week,
all right?
You're a soldier, man.
Man, I'm telling you this right now. You're going to talk your ass off when you get back. You're going to be a talk. I'm going to be quiet as hell in the corner. You're going to be talking when you get back, brother. We're all looking forward to when you do, but we're enjoying it for you that you're going to enjoy this. John, go enjoy it some more, brother. Appreciate you.
My man, appreciate it. Y'all be good.
Yes,
thanks,
sir.
John.
He is John Martin. Y'all know him. He's co-host J&J Show. Follow him on Twitter at JohnMartin929. Go on, up his followers. Let's help John with it. Like he needs any more followers.
Give him. He
or
actually
needs any bigger hit than he's already got.
He appreciates those likes. He likes the likes.
He likes the likes.
Yeah.
John likes
retweets.
The likes.
He likes
to go viral. So that's why I try to help him out and put his Twitter handle on there. Again, JohnMartin929. Going to be writing for the Daily Mail.
Yeah, that's cool.
Pretty soon. Pretty good. Cool pickup for them. John Martin, no better man to have. As plugged in as it gets on Memphis Tigers basketball. He's our guy.
You guys do a great job, but I'll tell you. You do a great job by yourself, too, Jason. Give yourself some flowers, brother.
Oh, baby.
Give yourself some flowers.
Oh, baby. Thank you, Brad.
Let's
that
pass
feels
some
good, baby.
Let's
that feels good.
Listen. Let's give some flowers out. If we're going to give flowers to John, we got to give flowers all around this show.
You know
what I'm saying?
We're trying to get whole again.
Just trying to get flowers.
I'm just trying to get whole again. We'll be whole very soon so we can have a check-in Olympics.
Yeah, exactly.
When John gets back, that's important. We're going to have check in the Olympics to go along with the Olympics.
And I hope he hasn't just spent too much family time and niceties and he all this beautiful talk.
Right.
That's all great, but we need to get back to the check in Olympics. So I hope he's got some of that in his arsenal.
We got business at work.
Yeah.
And my brother going to have it's going to be a month he's been off. He got to get back to work.
We got to get back
some
in.
Business. That's going to include some check in Olympics
right.
and much more. And a lot of him talking. excuse me, Lord, for dropping the A word earlier. But that's how excited I am for John to get back and to hear his sweet voice again on this radio show. No, seriously, appreciate him joining us. We'll be back. We got the rundown coming up. The Cleveland baseball team has a new name. We will talk about that. That's become official. That's big news. DeAndre Hopkins, too, has spoken out, the Arizona Cardinals wide receiver, talking about the vaccination. He is not getting it, and he was pondering his future, even on Twitter yesterday, in the NFL as a result of sort of where the NFL has put him and his team. We'll talk about that and much more when we get back. You're listening to J&J, 929 FM, ESPN.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM, ESPN. I was
driving. Bottom of the hour, I'm excited. We're going to have in studio former White Station, Tulsa football standout, Patera Wilson. He is now doing the MMA thing, no longer doing the football thing. He is doing the whoop your tail thing.
I just saw him in the lobby, and I had to run for my life.
Well, this is a former four-star by some football prospect who's now a heavyweight MMA fighter. He's got a title fight tomorrow night over at the Agri Center. I'm going to talk to him about that, how he got into it. Got his trainer, Brian Hall, I believe, with him as well. So we'll do that bottom of the hour. Hopefully, too, give away a couple tickets to tomorrow night's event. We'll do that again, like we said, bottom of the hour. Before we do, we got to do the rundown. Let's do it.
Now, it's the rundown presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
It is a big story. It's not as big as Oklahoma, Texas going to the SEC, but it is big, big, big. Happened this morning. I was blindsided by it. I didn't know we'd get it this soon. But the Cleveland Indians, or at least known as the Indians since 1915, are no more. The organization obviously still is, but that name is no more. They will now be called the Cleveland Guardians. Brad and I touched on it there in the open. Mm-hmm. The ball club announced the name change this morning. Had a video. We talked about it. Tom Hanks is in it. I think Brad's got it queued up. We're going to let you listen. It's very, very, very dramatic. And it makes you think Tom Hanks has been in Cleveland his entire life. Before we do that, though, you guys know that this has been in the works for a while. Now, they had stopped in terms of around there. While they're still selling the merchandise, they had been planning this for a while to move on to a new name. We can sit here and say, hey, Guardian sounds weird, and it does. I mean, it's good. The point is it's going to take a while. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell you that. But it's going to take some getting used to. That's fine. But clearly a change needed to be made at this point. They had folks protesting that name for decades. And so, and including the folks that matter, in this case, American Indians. And so from that standpoint, this needed to be done, got done. They've changed it to Guardians. Here we are. Let's hear the announcement, because I think, hell, it made more news than the actual name itself.
We are a city on the rise, forging into the future from our ironed-out past. We are a city of fire and water, of trees and towers, built through generations of blue collars and the brightest scholars, and all of those who have worked harder. We hold tight to our roots and set our sights on tomorrow.
This is our team that has stood with our city for more than a century, from Old Municipal to the corner of Carnegie. A team that has seen its own progress and prosperity. Its history flows like the river through the heart of this city. A history that has given us miraculous moments. Moments that spanned years and others 22 games. Moments that broke barriers and moments that broke hearts. Moments that prove this is more than a game. We remember those moments as we move forward with change. You see, it has always been Cleveland that's the best part of our name. And now it's time to unite as one family, one community, to build the next era for this team and this city, to keep watch and guard what makes this game the greatest, to come together and welcome all who want to join us. We are loyal and proud and resilient. We protect what we've earned and always defend it. Together, we stand with all who understand what it means to be born and built from the land. Because this is a city we love and the game we believe in. And together, we are all Cleveland Guardians.
There you have it. What do you think, Jason?
I think that's not going to help them win their first World Series title since 1948. I'm moved by the music and the drama of it all. I think it was fantastic. Tom Hanks, fantastic as usual. But I have a hard time not looking at this and saying, what makes Tom Hanks Cleveland?
He's from California.
I just went and looked that back up to make sure. Yes, he is from like Concord, California.
No, he's not from Cleveland.
But he's like, we, and you know, because we understand it as Clevelanders.
So
I'm kind of lost on that. I was real fast, yeah, though, because I want to make this clarification.
Yeah, give me
they stopped
think.
Wearing the Chief Wahoo logo on the jerseys and the caps. They stopped that in 18. What I guess I didn't realize or hadn't, I guess I, if I think about it, I had, if I'd been, in, I was in a sports merchandise store recently over on vacation and did see one. Mm-hmm. The team continues to sell the merchandise with that Chief Wahoo
caricature. Chief Wahoo, the smiling baseball logo?
They're still selling. They don't wear it during games, but
right.
They still sell the merchandise that has actually drawn the protests from the Native American
They need
groups.
To probably stop doing that if you're going to be genuine about the thing.
That's where the best way to put the end on it. Like, okay, you're changing the name. Now stop selling the merchandise. Yeah, and you stop wearing that on your caps and your jerseys
right.
in 2018.
Right.
You acknowledge that, but you're still selling the merchandise. So if you want to make this thing where it doesn't look completely hypocritical, stop selling the merchandise too. Realize that could be that's a moneymaker for you. But if you're getting away, if you're truly getting away from this, from the
old past and the bad putting down at the Native Americans,
then you need to stop selling the smiling.
That's the worst of it too. Is the Yahoo,
yes.
You know, the Wahoo.
You need to stop doing that, selling it as merchandise.
I had two thoughts on this. First, the minor leagues now they've got these wild names like Pistol Shrimp and New Orleans Baby Cakes, and these dudes went with Guardians. Like, you think you can get a little more creative than Guardians?
Just to your point, though, that you make there, that's the minor leagues. Like, do you do something in Major League Baseball, which is all, you know, always been about tradition and all that? Do you pull one of those names?
It's got to be generic.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It has to be generic.
You almost have to simplify things and dumb it down, tame it down, whatever the word is.
Okay.
You almost do, right? Because that would look even more weird if you brought that into Major League Baseball, don't you? I mean, I think so.
I think you got a good point well.
It's Guardians is safe.
It is
apparently
safe.
It represents
it
them
feels generic
in
is what
some
I'm saying.
Form.
But I guess that's what you're going for.
I don't know. I don't know what the better one would have been. And
no.
I think going the route you just mentioned is probably going too far. You're gonna get fun made of you then at that point.
You've gone
the whole of the route. So Cleveland Guardians, get used to saying it. And I guess too, you know, Washington football team, you're up, right? At some point.
Yeah, that's next.
At some
that's
point,
next
that's
year,
gonna
I
have
think
to, we're
going
to have
it.
To get the actual.
They said they're going to go through the season and do it like this, I believe. They're just going to write it because they're going to wait on it.
Right, I hadn't missed that, right? They haven't announced and said this is the year that will fully be that. Right.
They're
up next with what the name's going to be. And in Cleveland, too, last thing on this. If you're really truly moving on like you say you are and trying to put out optically that you are by the name change, then stop selling the merchandise as well.
Next story.
All right, the SEC Network on Thursday proposed a potential football alignment amid speculation that Texas and Oklahoma could join the conference, and this has been all the talk this week. We talked about Memphis and what that means for Memphis. We talked about Texas and Oklahoma leaving for the SEC. But they've released these pods in divisions, and it has four pods. Jason, if you want me to run these by you.
Please do. I'm curious to hear. It's okay. Exciting when you think about what the SEC could look like. It's just not exciting when you think about what's going to happen to everybody else.
I don't think I'm alone in that I'm a Mississippi State fan, and I'm also a Memphis fan. There are people in this town that have a rooting interest in an SEC team that care deeply about that university, and have both can be true, that you want your school to do well if you went to Mississippi State, and you also want good for Memphis. I hope it means well for both. But Pod A, it includes Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, and South Carolina. So that's basically the Far East one. Mm-hmm. Pod B, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt.
Oh, Lord. Alabama and Tennessee in the same pod.
Tennessee's been sucking. You think they're going to suck now? Well, at least they got Vandy. They can get a cupcake there. Pod C, this is where Mississippi State goes in. Mississippi State, LSU, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. That's Pod C. And then Pod D is your Far West. That would include, from the top down, Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Texas in Pod D. 9-game conference schedule. Teams play the other three teams in their pod every season, plus 2 games.
It's like we are playing fast forward on this thing.
No, it's done. This thing is rolling.
Oh, I see the stories at ESPN right now on the front that this is going to happen very quickly.
Big 12 officials,
weeks,
of course, had their meeting, and they are not happy. And I wouldn't be either, you know?
Imagine just the Saturdays in the SEC.
Whew, man.
I mean, they're already good.
Oh, yeah.
And you're adding brands like this.
I mean, it's going to be fun to see Texas in the state of Mississippi. You're going to see Texas at Alabama. You're going to see Oklahoma, Alabama. Even Oklahoma at Mississippi schools. Tennessee, Oklahoma. Tennessee, mm-hmm. Texas. Orange all over the place. I mean, it's quite something, man. But I had a lot of people saying Missouri and Vandy don't even belong in the whole thing. Now,
the report was, as of this morning from ESPN, that move, Texas and Oklahoma, we've been talking about, could happen in a matter of weeks, according to ESPN. The Austin American-Statesman, too, reported today that a Big 12 source believed talks between the SEC and the two schools have been ongoing for more than 6 months. Remember when Ross Jordan said, hey, they haven't been talking to us.
No, we ain't in this.
No, this been going on for a while, brother, and they all knew what you, Texas A&M, would say. They didn't include you on these talks.
No.
They didn't need to. They knew what your vote would be. They knew you'd be against it. Mm-hmm. They're not worried about you. They're worried about having everybody else. And that's why we knew that this didn't just pop up.
No.
These talks have been happening for a while. And Ross Bjork saying, well, nobody told me didn't mean a damn thing, because they all know, Brad, that they were going to be against it. SEC ain't worried about Texas A&M and trying to keep them happy.
No.
And sure, we won't bring in a second Texas school. Man, please, they're trying to double up that media rights payment they got coming from whoever does this deal. What are they at, $44 million right now that they get? So that's the key for them, is that nobody was going to tell Texas A&M that we're talking about this. And so, yes, it's been going on for a while, which means it could happen officially and formally here within the next few weeks. This is going to move fast.
Next story.
All right, this DeAndre Hopkins thing, we'll keep it short because we got Terry Wilson, Brian Hall out in the lobby. They're going to be coming in here talking about their event tomorrow night at the Agri Center. Hopefully, too, giving away a couple of tickets. DeAndre Hopkins, he deleted a tweet yesterday shortly after posting it, said he would question, reading from ESPN, would question his future in the NFL if it meant not getting the COVID-19 vaccine could potentially hurt his team's chances in 2021. Here's the background. NFL has basically said, look, if we can't reschedule you guys, if you've got positive COVID tests, positive tests, we can't get you rescheduled, can't reschedule the game, you're going to forfeit. Sort of what we've seen in the SEC with Greg Sankey earlier this week in Media Day, saying teams are going to have to forfeit, particularly if you're one of these teams that's not up to the 85, whatever it is, percent threshold that we're trying to get teams to. NFL saying, look, we're going to forfeit. In this case, though, the difference is a forfeit in the NFL would mean players lose game checks. And so for a guy like a DeAndre Hopkins, you've now put him in the NFL had to do something to try to push its numbers up, because, again, Brad and I talked about this. How do you convince grown men who've already got their money what you need to go get the vaccine? How do you do that? It's different than a college. I think these are professionals. These are grown men, right? They make their own decisions, that kind of thing. So how do you convince them to do that? Well, the NFL is trying to say you're going to lose money if you don't. And for those of you that are vaccinated, you could lose money, too, if you don't get it. This is essentially what they're saying. If you don't get these unvaccinated guys on your who are risks to get positive tests, and if you don't get them vaccinated, if you don't, you know, in this case, peer pressure, whatever you want to use it, you guys want to be able to play. You guys want to, more importantly, be able to get paid. Well, it behooves you to then get the guys who have been slow on this, haven't gotten vaccinated, or for whatever reasons, have their beliefs, whatever, they don't want to do it. You need to get them, bring them back across the line. See, like I said in the open, it pits the players almost against each other. It almost, you know, you can envision, everybody in the locker room in Arizona obviously feels a certain way about DeAndre Hopkins because he's an absolute stud. But you could envision a guy who isn't a star on the team and isn't making the millions that DeAndre and some of those stars are, saying, I can't afford to lose a game check. It's one of the reasons I got vaccinated, right, to try to avoid this. And yet you're telling me, unvaccinated, you come down and you could cost me a game check? So that inevitably happens, and that will create, you have to imagine, some divides in some locker rooms, or it's been set up that way now by the way the NFL has approached this. And look, I don't know particularly what the most effective way is to try to get NFL players, whoever else, everybody, to take this vaccine. You all know where Brad and I stand on it. We don't need to go through all that. I've been dosed up. Brad's been dosed up. We're on that side of it. But you, in this case, you have put that sort of pressure on that player, and now he's got all those eyes in that locker room saying, you going to do this too, bro?
Yeah.
You know? Whereas, you know, and if you don't, it could cost us our money. So, again, like we talked about, not just on you and your individual choice, which you have a right to make, but
sure,
your individual choice could have an impact on us. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. DeAndre talked about, okay, if this is going to be the case, how much longer am I going to be in the NFL? He deleted the tweet, obviously, but this is going to be all around the NFL, and it'll be most fascinating to watch, I'll just be real honest with you, in the places where the good players, the players who are the big stars of your team, have decided not to get vaccinated, guys like DeAndre Hopkins, because we know you need those guys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, those guys are the difference makers on your squad. So how are you going to treat them, right? Are you going to tiptoe around, just hope, hope, hope? You're going to go to them, ask them, no, can you be like a, you know, that's the difference here, because you need them. And it'll be interesting to see how they sort of tiptoe around those guys. Because the word is, there are more. There are more DeAndre Hopkins-level stars in the NFL who have decided, nuh-uh, I'm not getting vaccinated, and I don't care what, you know, what that means for my team and if we have to forfeit and get. There are plenty more, and I think we're going to hear about it as we move closer and closer to the season, of who these guys are. And, again, how do those teams deal with them? Because let's be real. You're going to deal with that guy differently, right, mm-hmm, that star of your team, than you are the 48th or 49th guy on your squad who's not getting vaccinated. But, and yet you can play, move on without him and still be a playoff team or whatever, a Super Bowl team, whatever it is.
Well, and here's the other thing. Like, if you're the Washington football team, and you're below the mark 50%, the other team should be pissed too. I'm just being real with you, because both teams lose the game checks if you don't get to play the game. Now, the team responsible has to forfeit, so that's part one. You lose the game. That might be part of it, and your team loses the game check. But if I'm the Giants, and I got a game against the Redskins, and the Redskins get popped because they got positive tests and they can't field a team on Sunday...
You're messing with folks' money. You're grown men's money.
I'm on the Giants, and I'm losing my game check because some cat in Washington. Like, that's not going to feel good.
That's, again,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, you're going to have
it's league-wide. Like, you got to beef with these other dudes.
Grown men not getting their money who are going to be hot in that instance.
Yeah,
be interesting to see what happens. I did see a note from, I think it was ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, that 16 NFL teams, a little bit higher than I thought, if accurate.
Yeah.
He said that 16 NFL teams have reached 85% vaccination rate.
That's
16
good.
Of them. That's not bad.
It's
I think
not,
that's higher
that's
than I
thought.
Than
yeah,
I thought it would
thought
be for these.
Lower.
Yes,
yeah.
It's higher than I thought. If that is indeed accurate.
Yeah.
We got plenty more, but it's going to have to wait, because right now, after this break, we're going to talk to Patera Wilson, Brian Hall. Patera Wilson, former star at White Station, played football, then went on to Tulsa, was a 3-star linebacker and defensive end prospect, has transitioned into the MMA world. He's tearing folks up, too. Already won a heavyweight title. Going to fight for one tomorrow night over at the Agra Center as part of a giant MMA event over there. We're going to talk to him about making that transition. You know, Brad saw him out in the studio. Looked like he's ready to fight right now.
He looks good.
We'll talk to him about that and much more when we get back. You listen to J&J 929 FM, ESPN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
His name is Patera Wilson, former White Station Tulsa football standout, was a stud, defensive lineman, linebacker. He is joined by trainer Brian Hall. Now, Attitude MMA Fights 21. Attitude MMA 21 takes place tomorrow night, 5 p.m. out at the Agrison. And we've actually got a couple of tickets, thanks to my man, Scotty Swanger, that we're going to give away. You're going to want to see it because at the top of the card, it's a 15-fight card headlined by our man here, Patera Wilson. Got a heavyweight bout with Bobby Fales. Bobby ain't no slouch. 6'4". Former offensive lineman at Louisiana Lafayette. We know who that doesn't scare, doesn't intimidate, is one Patera Wilson. He joins us right now. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in, first of all. Patera, damn, brother, looks like you just stepped off of an NFL team. Like Brad was talking about it out. He's like, I know which one Patera Wilson is.
Yeah.
This dude physically is a beast.
No, both of those guys are specimen. Let me not disparage anybody here, but there's clearly one dude that's going to be fighting this weekend.
You look like physically you're ready to hurt somebody tomorrow night, brother.
You're angry.
I mean, physically, we've always been this way, you know. So, and when we step in the ring, y'all get to see that firsthand.
Well, tell us the story. Got the perfect two gentlemen to tell us the story. Tell us about the transition. You've been a stud football player. Hell, we've known you around here for a long time. 4-star at one point. Tell us about making the transition from football, how long this has sort of been in the process, to now trying to be at the top of the MMA game and headlining cards.
All right, so this is actually a funny story. So back in college, me and my guys, when we had some downtime, yep, and we were ever resting, we'd always hop on the game. And one of the games we always used to go to, like just in the back of our mind, UFC 2. We'd always
UFC
hop on
UFC 2.
Two. And literally in the back of my mind, huh? You know, let's get us a shot. When we got back to the city of Memphis, ran into Coach Brian Hall here. What was it, December 2018.
Okay.
December 2018. All she wrote from there.
At that point, was football something you would decide, okay, my playing days are done? Were you still trying and hoping to still, you know, whether it's the professional route, whatever it was, were you looking for something new? Where were you at that point when you meet Brian in terms of what you were doing?
After that point, that's when I just finished my pro day, came back to the city.
Okay.
I had my tryout with the Cowboys and the Jets. You know, they will call you.
Know how that goes.
But, yeah, you know. So, but, you know, still honored to have the opportunity. And I actually ran into the UFC gym and ran into them completely by accident. Like, just Googled it in my phone, searched it up. Then I saw them over there going crazy, going federal, and spoke to them. And that's how we started linking from there.
So, Coach Hall, when you first get him, you obviously got a physical specimen. But did you have a raw talent when it comes to actually fighting? Or, Patera, did you just grow up fighting and the guy was the natural the moment you come in there? Like, what, in terms of what you had to deal with that first time you met him, what were you working with? We got some clay here. Was it already a, you know?
To me, it was just brute strength. He just came in, just bench pressing everybody. No technique.
Everybody.
No technique at all.
That's kind of what I was envisioning.
Yeah.
So and, strong as hell, but still raw.
Right, right. And I had to get like smaller people to like put it on him so he could realize that strength, you need more than strength in this sport. So that's what we did. I was at UFC Germantown. Now I'm at Law School MMA. I started my own gym since then.
Congratulations
so.
On that,
yes,
too.
Sir.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And in terms of the strength and benching everybody, could anybody, in terms of what you've trained, how high up the strength ladder is he? You know what I'm saying? We're talking about a heavyweight athlete here.
I would say
he's as strong as anybody you've had?
He's number two that I have ever trained. I would say number one is Jeremiah Trundle.
I know that name.
Yeah, so I would say he's number two.
And then for you, what was the biggest, I suppose, adjustment? You're already an athlete. And you probably, things come to you naturally already as an athlete. But in terms of adjustments, okay, this is a lot different than what I was doing. What was the toughest thing in terms of making this transition?
So the toughest thing for anything will always be, in my opinion, the knowledge. The more you know, the better. So like he said,
can you
benching
be thinking
everybody,
when you're fighting, though? I guess you have to, huh? That's how
think
you
of it as not more so thinking, more so as practicing reactions and like everything from mental reps that you already took in practice.
I got you.
So it's not really thinking, more so it is reacting and relying on your training.
Okay.
Because I know, like he said, benching everybody out the gym, doing all that, when he started putting the little guys on me with great technique, I had to literally sit down and be like, okay, what do I need to do to use minimal energy and still get out in the most efficient
way? So it's experience in situations and actually exactly. getting out there and doing it and having sort of, I guess, an answer for every
exactly.
for everything they're doing to you.
And then it's another step up the IQ ladder. Once you counter what they counter, then you got to counter something else, and like it just changed from there.
Now, were you a kid who got a lot of fights growing up? Were you you natural bending when it's one on one? Hey, I got no problem busting somebody in the face, or did this, you know, because it's a different type of one on one than what you're used to in football.
So before I met this man right here, I probably had three fights in my entire life.
All right,
I didn't get tried a lot as a kid.
I'm sure you did.
Physical
brother.
Stature was a little bit different than
yeah,
most people.
Ain't nobody
but there were. It was always the shortest ones that tried me. It was never nobody my height
running them out.
So then, yeah, exactly.
Because the short ones have a tendency to do that.
So then, you know, as soon as that happened, we
so imagine those three fights were quick. Those
quick.
Were previous three fights.
Quick.
Okay.
So then, before I even met him, that's all I had in my life. Three whole fights. We made them quick, but. Now we getting the whole shebang.
Yeah, so you weren't just like, you know, black eye every day growing up, whooping folks in the alley. Nah, and
Papa was, but, you know, I wasn't.
So when you get in now and you're doing it against professionals, like how much, you know, Brad and I couldn't get in there and do this. It takes a different kind of dude mentally. Like how much tougher was it? Were there nerves to start? Were no nerves at all once you're in and you get that taste of it?
So
was it like a duck? Was it like a fish in water?
I say it like this. You already have to be a little bit crazy to do this. Much like football. Like nobody's forcing you to go out there and bang your head into another grown man against your will. You're doing this willingly. This man right here did this willingly. Nobody forced him in that cage. You can leave anytime you want.
Yeah.
So it's all up to you. You got to be a little bit crazy to do it just to begin it.
Talking to Patera Wilson, he's got a big fight, heavyweight fight tomorrow night. He is headlining the card, a 15-fight card out at the Agra Center. It's Attitude MMA 21 going on. We're going to give away a couple of tickets. These guys put on quite the show. And, man, if you see Patera Wilson, you're going to want to see him fight because physically looks like he can hurt somebody. What do you know about your opponent? Mr. Fails, 6'4", former Louisiana. Know anything about him? How much prep do you put into the opponent, or is it more just about if I've got myself ready, I'll be ready? How much have you studied him?
It's a bit of both, but I know he's big, strong.
6'4", I read. Yeah, former
big,
offensive lineman.
Gruesome right hand, throws slugs, throwing the finish. That's, you know, name of the game in the heavyweight business.
Okay.
One punch shot. That's one of the big things I saw about him, all that brute strength. And, like, so that's going to be something, you know, we have to work with. But, obviously, again, I've been training all these months. I've been doing everything I feel I need to, and I still feel confident going in.
Is there when you get to this level, I suppose there's no underestimating? And like you said, it's part of your training. You had smaller guys going against you, but once you see that technique, it's different. I guess you can't. In your line of work, in this line of work, you can't underestimate anybody you're going against.
No, you can't, because one shot will change the game. That's all it takes. One big punch, now you on your ass and you on the defensive. So, like, you can't underestimate anybody.
Which coach you play for at White Station back in the day? Remember covering Major and Rutherford. You play Rutherford?
So, yeah, I was under Devin Rutherford as head coach at White Station when we was kicking ass, taking names, and giving those names to other teams.
Man, because I'm going to tell you, back in the 94, when I came out of White Station, we were sorry. Y'all, the Fred Harveys, who I guess was right before, y'all turned it around. Major,
they
Devin.
They won state. I remember
that. Uh-huh.
The year before I got to that one state. That's all we ever heard about.
And so, and then you end up at Tulsa. We were talking about this a little bit off air, going up against Memphis. How many times did you play the Tigers during your career at Tulsa?
We played the Tigers
once a year?
Like clockwork, once a year.
And so who was it then? Paxton?
Paxton Lynch. I won't forget that.
Paxton Lynch, who we just talked about, BC, right now, trying to hang on in the CFL and hope of the NFL. He was the guy with the Tigers when you guys were putting together defensive game plans.
I'll say it right now. Paxton Lynch has talent. He is a great quarterback.
He was a first-round pick.
He's in Canada now.
Talent was never the issue. Yeah. He's on.
Put him in a system, and he learns that system. You have great things coming your way.
How did you guys come do against them those years?
It was the air raid.
I gotta be honest with you. I've looked at your career, but I haven't looked at those How did y'all do those years against them?
So versus with the Paxton Lynch era, we didn't do too great. I'll tell you that straight up. I remember even being on the field. I can call it to this day. It was like third down. For some reason, we were running cover four, and like this, we had a consistent habit of running cover four on third downs. That obviously teams will pick up on if they see it enough times on film. So there, I can't remember if it was 3-by-1 or like 2-by-2. They ran a fake veer motion and ran a double post pattern. And when I tell you, like, first post distracted safety, second post is right behind them, all they did was strike up the band.
Who were the – do you remember the receivers then, who he was throwing to?
Anthony Miller.
It was Miller, wasn't it? That's how I thought it was. It a pro?
Yeah, another pro. Like, yeah, Anthony Miller. I remember that.
Did you – I'm trying to remember. Was Memphis on you?
Yeah,
coming Memphis, out, that's what yeah, I thought. Coming out of White Station, and lost you to Tulsa at that point. But
I wouldn't say lost. It was more think of it like so. Growing up in the household that I was, like, I really never expected to go to college simply because I just think right after high school, you know, get a job, all of that.
I feel
so. When the recruiting process happened, it was overwhelming, shocking. Like, everybody wanted me, the Bamas, the LSUs, the SECs, even out in the Big 12 and Big 10. And, like, it's just overwhelming and shocking. And, like, everyone wants to know, which school do you want to go to? Sure. And, like, honestly, in my true heart, like, I don't know. Like, and then, like, you find out you have to decide or, like, have somebody committed to, or else, like, as you get older and, like, closer to, like, your senior year,
right,
offers start leaving.
I got you.
But, like, that's something I can give to the next generation of Wilsons for, like, their future knowledge so we can make the next level and have someone in our lineage.
Amen to that.
Get the lead.
How long do you see yourself doing this? Does it, I guess, success going to dictate how long you see yourself in this new professional career in MMA?
Till Brian Hall retires. That's how I see it.
Till Brian Hall retires. I mean, y'all have gotten close fast if it's like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of one-on-one time. A lot of time we spend together inside the gym, outside the gym. I'm more than a coach to these guys, you know. And I put my heart and I put my passion into this sport, and I put it involving in my fighters as well.
Give us civilians an idea of how much time goes – on a weekly basis, how much time goes into having a heavyweight champion like this finally tuned and ready for a fight like tomorrow night?
For instance,
how many hours are we talking about?
We got 7 days a week. I would say 4 hours times six.
That's about right.
And how much of that is he's in the ring? Here's we're working on the moves. How much of it is he's in the weight room? How much of it is the you know what I'm saying? How does it sort of break down in terms of that time?
You guys
together for all of that?
No. Those the hours that we together. Now, what he needs to be doing outside the gym is a whole another set of 4 hours. You think of this, you got to work hours, 8 hours a day. That's the same thing you got in training. You got 8 hours a day. You can break it up to 2 at 5:30 a.m., another 2 at 11, another 2 at 3, and then you got 1
So it's
at
all
6.
Around the clock.
Right.
Whether he's with you or not is to that point.
Correct.
If you're going to be at this level.
Yes, of course. Especially if you want to fight Francis Ngannou.
And that's where I was going. Ngannou, so that's the goal? Ultimately, isn't that the goal for every fighter?
Right.
Heavyweight belt. It's always the goal. Whoever holds it, we got to have it.
Does he have that? And I can guess the answer just from the look in your eye.
He has the
potential. The potential is there.
Right, right.
So what's it going to take in terms of finishing off the potential? What's left for him before he's at that level?
Consistency, experience. And just that dog. Got to bring that dog
fight?
Out.
I lost my first fight in decision. Split decision.
So what's the record today?
Record's 3-1.
3-1, okay. And it was the first fight.
Yeah. Nope. After that, nobody leaves the second round.
So what did you learn in that first one? Since it was the first fight, what was it?
In the first fight, it taught me IQ is everything. knowing what to do, going back, looking at film, knowing what I should have done, what I could have done, and everything like that lets you open up your mind for a whole nother life. You're like, wow, I can win this. I can do this, and I belong here. So that's what, even
was,
though it
was that a shot, or was it a win by submission? How did he get you in that first one?
You it remember? Was a split decision.
Split, oh, you
it was,
said, you
it was
said
a close
split
fight. It was a close fight. It could have went either way.
Gotcha.
It could have went either way. He could have won or the other guy. But the thing is, when you come to judges, a lot of judges never fought in their life. So they really going off what right. they see or their opinion. So they really don't know. Like, I would never trust a judge. So you always try to fight to finish.
So how do you know?
Don't trust a judge. You hear that, Jason?
I heard it. So this is what I'd ask you. How do you know after that fight, and maybe it was immediately obvious, but how do you know, okay, no, this is me. This is, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of folks, you take that first, and you just say, you know what, this is not for me. For you, it was obviously different and obviously motivated. You win your next three fights. But did that, was that just a natural thing that happened there? Did you question yourself at all?
So after that loss, there was no question about it because, like I said, I've had great coaches in my life, and he's even shown me, like, hey, look, these are the things that you're good at, and right here we can improve on. And there was room for improvement. There's always room for improvement.
Right.
The more knowledge you know, the better.
Well, that's something we can all draw from. Even if you get that immediate failure, you still there's reason to push through. So many of us stop after that first initial defeat.
Right.
You want to say something?
And just like he was talking about how his football IQ is phenomenal.
Top tier.
Like, if he used that same energy he did watching them films, he started watching the other films for fighting, it would be the same. And that's what we've been trying to work on, getting that fight IQ up.
In my defense.
Oh, okay. I feel you're getting defensive
as
here.
As far as football was concerned, I quit watching film in high school. That's how involved I was. I went on the concepts. I was on a whole nother level. Thank you.
If you would have watched film, you would have been, what, a four-year starter and an NFL.
I guess you can say that argument.
Right.
Look at it one
day. Yeah.
But you want a coach like that that's going to push, right?
Exactly.
And not say, right?
That's
what I just heard out of Coach Hall here.
Exactly.
Is that as talented and much potential as you've got, there's still other things that we can to make it the best, is what
exactly.
it sounds
Correct.
Like.
Correct.
Always wrong.
He ever pushed you, though, to a point where you're like, man, forget this dude. I'm done with this.
No, never that. Because, you know, I didn't been in the mud before, so I know how grimy it gets. And
yeah.
Like, even when he, you got to go, you got to push, all that, it's just more motivation. He ain't doing it for his health. He's doing it to get us better.
How was my man, just because I know him, came up with him? I think we were same 94 class. He was at Central High School. How's my man Rutherford doing, your coach? I mean, how was Coach Rutherford as a coach? I'm putting you on the spot. We're going to critique him a little bit, but that was my guy.
Boy, when I tell you it was hell during the summer.
Biggest coach in the area, too.
Man,
dude, big as hell.
Like 400, 500.
Yeah, you don't see those, right, walking the sideline.
No, don't. But yeah, it was hell during the summer, but he got you right. We was in the lab, we was in the weight room, we was out on the field.
Yeah,
it was consistency, it was a routine. And it got all of us better, bigger, stronger, faster, and smarter.
Prediction for tomorrow night's fight, again, the card, 15 fight card. It's Attitude MMA Fights 21. Headliner is Patera Wilson here. He's got a heavyweight bout against Bobby Fails. He's a 6'4", former offensive lineman, Louisiana Lafayette. Any predictions for tomorrow night's fight for those that want to come out and watch you whoop this dude?
We finishing in the second round.
Are you calling the second round?
Nobody making it to the decision. I'm done with that. I had enough of that in the first fight.
You heard it right here. Man gonna drop Mr. Fails.
I believe him.
Man gonna make a failure out of Bobby Fails. That's tomorrow night. And I tell you what, I'm gonna be out there, thanks to Scotty, and we're gonna give away a couple of tickets to go watch Patera Wilson fight. Why would you not support a Memphian, support a great event? Again, a 15 fight card. It's tomorrow night at the Agra Center, Attitude MMA Fights 21. Event starts at 5 p.m. Our man Patera Wilson gonna be headlining the thing in his heavyweight title bout. Brian Hall, fantastic trainer here in Memphis, has helped this man get to the top. We're going to be there to watch him tomorrow night. We'll give away a couple of tickets. We'll do that top of the hour. Do that about 1 o'clock. We'll do that about 1 o'clock. Maybe take caller number. We'll figure that out. We'll let you know. We'll dig all that. We got the tickets. We'll do that. Patera, Coach Hall, good luck tomorrow night. We'll see you
Thank
tomorrow
you very
night.
Much. Thanks let's, for having
let,
me.
Let's go
Appreciate
whoop brother. Yeah, let's go whoop brother Fails. He's got a whooping coming at the hands of Patera Wilson. Appreciate them. We got more to get to, including at 125, Coach Jimmy Patsos. We're going to break down the NBA draft. Go ahead.
Appreciate y'all for having us, too. And
oh, man,
also,
stop.
We got an after party at Club Blow, the Hookah Lounge over at 815 Exotech Drive. Make sure y'all come through.
Well, you better win if you're going to have an after party out there, and it's going
to
be live.
You able to smoke that hookah after you fight? No. He's looking at coaching.
Where is that again? For since you've already guaranteed victory, where is the after party tomorrow night?
815 Exotech Drive. It's Blow Nightclub and Lounge.
There you go. There you go. So you can do the fight, and then you can do the after party.
What do you think, Coach?
Watching Patero Wilson whoop somebody.
I won't be there.
Okay.
Coach Hall ain't doing him. No, he ain't going to lift some weights after the fight. Gentlemen, appreciate you guys coming in. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you, guys.
He is Patero Wilson. Coach Brian Hall, they'll be at Attitude MMA Fights 21 tomorrow night. We'll all be out there again. 125, we're going to talk to Coach Jimmy Patsos, break down the NBA draft. Plenty more. Come on back. You're listening to J&J 929 FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.